to 2 Timothy. I preached on this about 5 years or 6 years ago, and I was going to preach on Sarah and Eve and so many different ones. I don't know why the Lord kept bringing me back to this, and I don't enjoy re-preaching my sermon, but for some reason, this is what the Lord has brought me to this morning, and so this is what we'll speak on this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll ask you to stand. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read one verse here. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And if you turn to chapter 3, in verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy because of his mother and grandmother says, 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Glorious God, we thank you again this morning as we gather in your house, and we thank you for those who are mothers, O Lord, and we pray that you would bless them this morning and encourage them. And Lord, it's the hardest job in the whole world is to be a mother, to be a parent, and Lord, and so we honor our mothers. We come first and foremost to honor you, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you also instructed in your word to honor our fathers and our mothers, and we want to allow this day and honor our mothers, O God. And so, Lord, use thy word this morning to encourage us, to build us up, to strengthen us, Lord, to help us in our everyday life, particularly those who are mothers. And so we ask all these things in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. Of course, this morning I'll be addressing those of you who are mothers and those who will be mothers one day. We're given by the Apostle Paul one of the most precious examples of motherhood and parenting that should be in every mother's and father's heart regarding their posterity. And I speak about, you know, we need to look also not only to our generation, but to the second, third, and fourth generation, as set forth so clearly in the Decalogue, if you would, the Ten Commandments. We're told in the Second Commandment, in Exodus 20, where it says, "Thou shalt not make thee unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." In other words, my point is this: if the sinful action of a father can affect the children to the second, third, and fourth generation, likewise, the holy actions of a father will affect positively their posterity to the second, third, and fourth generation. And I believe all of us would want the spiritual blessings of God upon our posterity, because in Proverbs 3:33 it says so clearly, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." And I believe that we see the blessings of God upon the household of Lois, with Timothy's grandmother, and also in Eunice, who was Timothy's mother, to which I believe also followed in the aspect of Timothy's wife and household. Again, all of this happened because one day in the life of Lois, she became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she sought to raise her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No doubt that she was fully persuaded with a heavenly conviction to raise up her children in the ways of the Lord. Remember, we're talking back in the very first century. She was raising her children against the onslaught of the wickedness that prevailed in the Roman Empire of her day, when Christians had no religious freedom. Therefore, how much more should Christian mothers and even fathers of this 21st century take advantage of the religious freedom that we still have in this country, though no doubt it is slipping away fast, that we would seek to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. But again, regardless of the time period in which we live, we must raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This also reminds me of the words of Peter when he preached there in Acts 2, where thousands were converted to the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2 quickly. And toward the end of Peter's sermon, at verse 37, Acts 2:37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricking their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Then they gladly received his word, were baptized the same day. They were added about them 3,000, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and in prayer. We're not told in the Bible specifically when Lois, Timothy's grandmother, was saved. But we can see the effect that she had in her life, that she sought to raise up Timothy in the scriptures. She sought to raise her children for the Lord in the untoward generation in which she lived. The word untoward here in verse 40, untoward, is the Greek word scolios. We get our English word scoliosis with the curvature of the back. Because this word scolios in the Greek means crooked, bent, warped, perverse, and wicked. It is also used in in Philippians 2:15, where it says that they may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom he shine as lights in the world. And here we are, 20 centuries later, and we must still raise our children in the midst of an untoward generation. We need to raise our children in the Lord in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, where we have a president for the first time in the nation's history who is redefining the biblical mandate of marriage between a man and a woman. And all I have to say, no, Mr. President, God did not create Adam and Steve or Mary and Eve. No, it was Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. And so I don't care how hard you try to push the homosexual agenda as a normal and acceptable lifestyle, it is still an abomination in the eyes of God. Gay marriage seeks to destroy the holy marriage institution created by God for a man and for a woman. And thus we live in an untoward generation, or if you wish, in a crooked and perverse nation. And mothers, you are called to raise up your children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And so again, in this 21st century, it is of necessity that we have godly mothers like Lois and like Eunice, who have given themselves over to the truth of the scriptures. I mean, God help us all if you have this conviction, especially mothers, who will have a tremendous effect on their children in raising them for the glory of God. May God be pleased to give that courage, that conviction, raising our children in this untoward generation. Why am I so adamant making this point to mothers and to fathers? It's real simple, my dear ones. If you haven't figured this one out, it's real simple. If we do not raise our children in the ways of the Lord, somebody else will raise your children in the ways of the world. Your children will either grow up with a biblical worldview or with a simple worldview of their own. Somebody will teach your children. And if it's the worldview, world, view of this world, it is diametrically opposed to the Bible and to God. And so one way or another, your children will be instructed, but God gave them to you. You guide them, you lead them. Because they will be instructed by the Bible or by the world. There is no standing still in this issue. There's no neutrality in this aspect. There's no middle ground. You will have an impact on them, or the world will have an impact upon your children. And so Lois knew that in her time age, that she had to raise them up in such a way, and it's no different 20 centuries later. Again, we have those verses that we read in the Decalogue, but also it says at verse 5 that we just read earlier, which is, I am the Lord thy God, and the jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the second, third, fourth generation of them that hate me. Notice the last phrase, of them that hate me. The world in general is diametrically opposed to the Bible, and you have to understand that the world hates God. If you don't see this, you're just blind, or you're willfully ignorant, and you cannot see afar off. Because the world is diametrically opposed to the Bible. They do not believe in absolute truth of the Scriptures. This world, man are so self-centered. Everything is about them. Everything is based on pure relativism. We live in this postmodern age that has no interest in God. They don't believe there's any absolute at all. But oh my dear ones, this morning, please understand that book you hold in your hand is the absolute truth of God. And never lose sight of that. There's four things I want to share with you this morning. And so may God help us in this untoward generation, in this crooked and perverse generation. These four things will be a faithful mother's message, a faithful mother's mission, a faithful mother's molding, and simply, a faithful mother. But before I bring my points, let me just share something I read that was very interesting, which is really true, of some things that my mother taught me. I don't know who the author of this is, but I think all of us can enter into this. Quote, what my mother taught me. Well, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that that spot comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Just keep on laughing. I'll give you something to cry about. My mother even taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt in the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You sit there until you finish eating everything on that plate. My mother even taught me about the weather. It looked like a tornado just came through your room. My mother taught me how to solve physics problems. If I yell because I saw a meteor coming toward you, would you listen to me then? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. And my mother taught me about the circles of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. Oh yeah. My mother even taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you. And then lastly, my mother even taught me about my roots. Stop acting like your father! Amen. But on the most serious note, the different views of mom, and not some of you might have seen this before, I just thought I'd share it with you. When we were 4 years old, at age of four, my mommy can do anything. At age eight, my mom knows a lot. She knows a whole lot. By age 12, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. By age 14, mother, duh. By age 16, my mom, she's not cool at all. By 18, oh, that woman, she's way out of touch. By 25 years of age, well, she might know a little bit about it. By age 35, before we decide, let us ask mom about it. By 45, I really wonder what mom thinks about it. By age 65, I wish I could talk with mom again. I'm sorry. First thing I said, don't get emotional. Yes, I wish I had my mama today. I wish I could talk it over with mom. Anyway, a science teacher was trying to teach his sixth grade class about the importance of magnet and metal. And so the whole week, you know, he's going around picking up things with a magnet and, you know, showing the people the importance of science and gravity and all these things. So at the end of the week on Friday, without knowing, he gives them a pop quiz. One question. You answer correctly, 100. You answer wrongly, 0. And so the teacher stands in front of the class and says, okay, what six-letter word picks up everything? And a boy jumps out of his chair from the back. Mother! Like his mothers are magnets, huh? Anyway, let me get to my study. First of all, a faithful message. A faithful message. The first thing we want to consider is that Lois and Eunice, they had a faithful message. In other words, that their faithful message was based upon the scriptures. Both Lois and Eunice were convicted that the word of God was the rule of their faith and practice. And so with simple faith, they believed that the scriptures were the word of God. They didn't question it. They didn't look for, you know, original manuscripts. I mean, they knew God had preserved his word for the generation, whether it was a portion of the Old Testament or the New Testament. They believed it was the word of God. And so they took that responsibility in raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Both Lois and Eunice did that, grandmother and mother. That's why Timothy turned out to be such a great man. They understood the words of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, where God would instruct the parents and say, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. With these words which I command thee, they shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them while thou sittest in thine house, while thou walkest by the way, while thou liest down, while they raisest up. And thou shalt bind them upon the sign upon thine hand, be frontless between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. They knew the importance of conveying the scripture to their children. Why? Again, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child, talking about Timothy, all Timothy had known from a child are the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And he continued by saying that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what profits the aspect of knowing that scripture? And so Timothy from a child had been taught the word of God. Lois taught him to Eunice, Eunice to Timothy, and I believe Timothy to his children. And he told his wife to teach him to his children also. What a faithful message. From the first generation to the second, to Timothy the third, and then to his children, the fourth generation. Spiritual blessing. Why? Because of one woman whose heart and love for God, for the scriptures, and for her children. I'm talking about Lois. that after God saved her, Lois began the spiritual chain, and God blessed that spiritual conduit, and it continued to Eunice and, of course, to Timothy and his wife and the children. Why? Because they knew they had the word of God in their hand, but better yet, they had it in their heart, as it says in Psalm 119:11. I mean, it's one thing to have the Bible here, my dear one, but it's a different thing to have it in your heart. As Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." They thoroughly believed that the Bible, what the Bible said about itself. They fully believed and persuaded that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. They didn't question the word of God. They didn't look to all these other things, or could they be a mistake here, whatever. No, no, no. By simple faith, they believed the word of God. They were submissive to it. They believed in the inspiration of the scriptures. They believed that the word of God was infallible, inerrant, and could be trusted for every aspect of life. They clearly understood the word of God, that it was needful. It was essential for salvation, for faith, for knowledge of God. The truth concerning God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, salvation, these were some important things that they would learn in the scriptures. And then they also had perhaps the understanding of the inspiration of the scripture, the revelation of the scripture, the preservation of the scripture, the authority of the scripture, the sufficiency of the scripture, the illumination of the scriptures. In other words, that the word of God, they were so fully convinced. And so Lois knew that she had a message for her children, a message from God, a message from the word of God. And so she sought to teach them these truths. And so she was faithful because she had a faithful message. These truths were important to her. And that's why she gave herself over to teaching them to her children as a faithful mother. All of those things are so important so that our children will grow up believing in the scriptures. I was going to define all of these terms, but we don't have the time, but you should know them by now, and they're very important. And therefore, without a shadow of a doubt, Lois and Eunice believed that they had the word of God, and therefore they believed they had a faithful method, and so they sought to communicate it to their children. And they did it by being a faithful mother. Not only was it a faithful method, but secondly, a faithful mission or a faithful ministry. Either one of those, I think, is perfect or good. Every mother has a very important mission in your life. Every mother has a very important ministry. And I know sometimes you say, well, you know, I'm a mother. I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to do this. Oh, my dear one, you have the highest calling as a mother. Don't ever underestimate that. Don't lose sight of the things of this world and problems and circumstances, and we lose sight of the most important things that God has given us, and that is our children. You see, what mothers need to understand is that when God gives them children, God gives them a missionary field. No. God's not calling you to go to the missionary field. He's calling you to be a missionary in your own house. This is first and foremost. This is more important, and I say this carefully, this is more important than reading, writing, and arithmetic. Though those things are very important, I understand. But to be a missionary to your own children is vital. This is your God-given duty, to instruct your children, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. Our problem is, in this Western culture, in this 21st century, this 21st century, you see, we have the influence of the feminine movement that has caused the status of motherhood to decline. And so now women are encouraged, don't stay at home. No, no, follow a career. Follow the career. Don't raise your children. Let somebody else raise your children. You want to raise those naughty kids anyway. Let somebody else do it. You plan your career. But mothers have a mission at home. They have a ministry at home. This is your most important mandate. And so, sorry to inform you that it's not your career. It is the raising of your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I know, I want to be very careful. I know some of you who are mothers work. Some of you have to work. And I understand that. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, make you feel bad or anything like that. I'm not trying to do that. But I can't just throw it under the cover and act like it's not in the like it's not in the Bible. And so I understand that, but regardless, it does not in any form or fashion take away from your most important job in the world, and that is raising your children in the Word of God. No doubt that this is also the duty of the father, first and foremost. But mothers spend more time with their children than the fathers. And if you have a weak husband who doesn't take up his role, then the mother must. Don't let the children suffer because of a weak father. The mothers must take the lead and teach the children. Western culture ideology regarding women from professional careers, life, and all those things does not remove the God-given role of motherhood given to mothers by God. Timothy, from a child, knew the scriptures, which means that Eunice and her mother, Lois, taught them these things. Mama Eunice. These two women gave themselves to know the scriptures so they could teach it to their children. They might have not been in the work world, but they were at home raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, I am not trying to offend anybody. I'm just sharing what I believe the scriptures teach. I'm not trying, again, to put a guilt trip on you or anybody. I know some of you have to work, and I understand that. But that does not lessen your God-given role as a mother. It'd be no different if I was preaching on the qualifications for a pastor. There are some hard qualifications for a pastor, and I'm not going to lessen it for somebody. No. This is where we come to the Word of God and submit to what the Word of God has to teach us. Now, interestingly, the word child in our text in the Greek gives the idea of an infant, of a babe. In other words, it was at the knees of grandma and mama that little Timmy was taught the scriptures. They were told about God. And so the best thing you can do for your children as babies, infants, toddlers, all the way to their teenage years, is that you constantly teach them about God, the Bible, the gospel, salvation. Let me tell you that nothing in this world is more important than this. And I understand, I'm not saying that you do this 24/7 a day. No, there's other things that have to be done. But make sure that you take the time. Make time for your children to teach them these truths. Why? Because, again, your children are your missionary field. Remember, I remind you, if you don't teach your children, somebody else will teach your children. And so don't lose sight of the most important ministry in your life. Again, not your career. It is your children. Why? Because you only have them young once. They're young once. And so not only do we have a faithful message, but a faithful mission and a faithful ministry. And then thirdly, a faithful molding. By molding, I basically mean fashioning, shaping, forming our children. Lois to Eunice, Eunice to Timothy, and I'm sure to Timothy's wife. Again, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, from an infant, they were faithful in making known the Holy Scriptures to Timothy. We know that it had a profound effect in Timothy, which it produced salvation in him. And this is why Paul writes this. The phrase "hath known" is the Greek word haido, which means to see or perceive with the eye in order to discern or to be able to discover something. It also means to inspect, to examine, to hold, to behold, to know, That is to get some knowledge or some understanding. Haido is in the, also the perfect tense, and it means that Timothy received knowledge of the Holy Scriptures in early childhood and continued to the present time that Paul wrote this letter of 2 Timothy. In other words, Timothy could not recall a time when he did not know the Scriptures. I cannot enter into that, my dear ones. I was 25 years old before I even read the Bible. So don't take it for granted, children. Those of you that are raised in Christian homes, don't take it for granted that everyone is raised like you. No, they're not. You better count it a pleasure that if you have as a babe been taught the Word of God, you better thank God because it is a blessing indeed. I like what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, quote, "Babes receive impressions long before we are aware of the fact. A special advantage ground is lost when even babyhood is left uncultured. The Holy Scriptures may be learned by children as soon as they're capable of understanding anything. It is a remarkable fact, which I have heard asserted by many teachers, that children will learn to read out of the Bible better than from any other book. Give us the first 7 years of a child with God's grace, and we will defy the world, the flesh, the devil, to ruin that immortal soul," unquote. That's powerful. Have you noticed now that the government wants your children in the pre-kinder age of 3 or 4? They want to mold your children already with the mind of the world's philosophy, political correctness, the worldview ideology. When I was younger, about 28, 29, I don't know how old I was, I left my job that I worked for so many years, about 10 years, laying equipment, and I started selling World Book Encyclopedias. I was always fascinated. My parents had bought them when I was little, so I already knew the encyclopedias, and my parents bought child craft, and I was always reading. I don't know if that's what helped me to be a person. I just love to read. And so I used to love to read encyclopedias and child craft. And one of my closest, when I would sell the encyclopedias, you always have to have a big close. And one of my major closes was at the very end, is that I would remind the parents that children at age 3 and 4, this is a period and time when children have the highest retention level they'll ever have in their whole lifetime, at age 3 and 4. And so make sure that you continually read and share with them the Scriptures again and again and again. It is easier to teach them this, that is the Word of God, at this age, 3 and 4, while their hearts are yet soft and impressionable. Again, if you don't mold their hearts, somebody else will. Get their hearts while they're young. Get their hearts while they're young and their hearts are still pliable and they can be molded. It's like planting a small tree. It first comes out and it's a little twig. And it is easily bent with the wind and everything that blows. And so you tie it down to cause it to grow straight in the direction you would want it to grow before it becomes a tree and then it's heart. And you can't move it anymore. You see, that's the heart of a child. And so mold the heart of your children while they're young, or I can assure you they will break your heart when they get old. Old Daniel Webster said this, quote, "From the time that at my mother's feet or at my mother's knee, I first learned to lift verses in sacred writing, that they have been my daily study and vigilant contemplation. If there be anything in my style or thoughts to be commanded, the credit is due to the kind parents of instilling into my mind and my heart an early love of the Scriptures." Another writer says, "Begin to train your children early to fear and love the Lord, to carry on life's pathway to God's lamp and His holy word," unquote. I got this from Precept Austin's webpage. Quote, "Children can surely come to know the Lord, as amply testified by the well-known believers, Polycarp, an early church father. The great church father was 9 years old when he was saved. Matthew Henry was 11. Jonathan Edwards, America's greatest theologian, was 7. Hymn writer Isaac Watts was 9. Evangelist Harry Drummond, Harry Moody's friend, was 9. Stanley Jones, the great Methodist missionary, was moved to be a missionary when he was 8 years old, when he saw the picture of a big tiger standing next to a small Indian boy. When he saw the picture of who would tell me about Jesus. Corrie Ten Boom asked Christ to be her Lord and Savior at age 5. W.A. Criswell, the famous Southern Baptist pastor, was saved when he was 10. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was 15. Harry Ironside was 13. And there's so many others. Spurgeon was saved about 14 or 15. We know that the Lord saved the prophet Samuel at a very young age, the young man. Even David is a young teenager. Why? Even Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, because these men, their mother, began to mold their hearts at a young age. As a matter of fact, one of our presidents, John Quincy Adams, wrote, "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children began to read it, the more confident my hope that they will prove useful citizens and respectful members of society one day," unquote. Again, Paul writes to Timothy, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Again, Spurgeon speaks. He says, "I lay stress upon those who would teach the Word of God. One of the first objects of Sunday school would be to teach the children great reverence for these holy writings, this inspired writing. The Jews esteemed the Old Testament beyond all price and thought, unfortunately, many of them fell into superstition, reverence for the letter oracles. Especially is this feeling of reverence needed nowadays. Observe that Timothy was taught not only to reverence holy things in general, but especially to know the Scriptures. Suppose we get the children together on Sunday school and then amuse them and they color and make hours to pass away pleasantly. No. Or instruct them in the elements of the Word of God." Unquote. There were some other things. One writer says, quote, "A little boy described grandmothers like this. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she loves everybody else's. Grandmas don't have to do anything but be there. If they take you for a walk, grandmas walk slow. They pass leaves and caterpillars. And they answer questions like, why dogs hate cats and why God isn't married. When they read to you, they don't skip parts or mind if the same story is read again. Everyone should have a grandmother because they are the only grown-ups who have time for you," unquote. Ooh, I do love that. One writer continues, "Tip for grandmothers. Grandmothers, I know we got grandmothers in this auditorium. Pray for your grandchildren, play with your grandchildren, and pass your faith unto your grandchildren." Amen to that. And so, mothers, again, the importance of molding your children in the Scriptures, because they are able to make them wise to salvation. So not only we have a faithful message, a faithful mission, but a faithful woman, and then lastly and quickly, a faithful mother. This is what God calls you to be this morning. If you are a mother, God calls you to be a faithful mother to your children, to raise them up again in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Time is precious. That is the precious commodity that we have, time. Your children will only be young once. And if you blow that opportunity, you'll never get it again. In other words, make time to teach your children the Word of God. And I know sometimes it's hard being a mother. You got 100,000 things you have to do, but take the time to give yourself as a mother to raise up your children in the ways of God. And so again, Lois and Eunice, They were faithful mothers. Again, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. In other words, the faith of Lois and Eunice was real and sincere. It was not hypocritical. The word, this is basically what the word unfeigned means. It is the Greek word anoprokitos. Anoprokitos. It is a compound word from a, which means no or without, and hupokrimonai, which means, or where we get our English word, hypocrisy. And if you break that word down, the first part, hupo means under, and krino means to judge. And when you put it together, it means to play the part, to act the part, and that's where we get again our English word, hypocrisy. And so, anoprokitos literally means without playing the part, that is, not acting the part, being without pretense, being without hypocrisy. In other words, be sincere, be genuine. And I can assure you, mothers, children know when you play the part of the hypocrite. They know. You might think you have one over them, but children know. In other words, the faith of Lois and Eunice was genuine. It was without hypocrisy. Their faith was unfeigned. It was sincere. It was real. She had a true, saving, and justifying faith without hypocrisy. It was genuine. They had that firm persuasion, a firm conviction, a faith, again, that surrendered to the Word of God. And it showed a genuine change in their life. Godly mothers are women of sincere faith, which again, I believe, seek to convey and communicate their genuine faith to their children. Hypocritical faith, feigned faith, can be handed off or given by anybody. Why? Because everybody knows it's fake. It's fake. It's hypocritical. And I can assure you, if you do that to your children when they're young and play the hypocrisy and they're your fake, I can assure you, when your children grow up, they're not going to want anything to do with your brand of Christianity. It's so sad when we go to knocking and we hear young men and young women, oh, the Christian, oh, Christian. And you hear the same story. Oh, my mother, my dad, oh, they're just hypocrites in the church. And everybody, of course, I always have to say, well, why don't you come join us? There's always room for one more hypocrite. Slam the door in my face, but that's fine. But it's so sad. It grieves my heart when I hear that a lot. So the importance of having that genuine faith. Genuine faith, it contagious, my dear ones. Timothy's faith could be traced back to his mother, to his grandmother. He could see the Lord in them. Again, we see that this faith first dwelt in Lois. She passed it to Eunice, and it dwelt with her. And then, of course, she passed it to Timothy, and it also dwelt in him. And what a blessing, what a precious spiritual heritage. Why? Because one day, many years ago, Lois bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior. She passed that faith to her children, to her children's children. This, my dear friends, is a faithful mother. This is a faithful mother that we, or I should say, that women should emulate to follow in her footsteps. That God would bless as He did Lois and Eunice. What a mother, yea, what a grandmother. Would to God that all mothers were like Lois and Eunice. What a world this would be, huh? Mothers influence their children. Mothers influence their sons. Mothers influence their daughters. And one of life's greatest blessings is to have a godly mother. And thus, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is to be a godly mother. I've read this before, and I want to read it to you again. It blessed my heart when I read this, and I need to bring this to an end. This is from Dennis DeHaan, my book, our pamphlet entitled For Future Generations. Quote, when a team of Christians visited Stavropol, Russia in 1994 to hand out Bibles, a local citizen said he recalled seeing Bibles in the old warehouse. They had confiscated the Bibles in the early 1930s when Stalin was sending believers to the gulags. Amazingly, the Bibles were still there. They were killing the Christians. in Russia in the 1930s. Among those who showed up to load them in the trucks was a young agnostic student just wanted to earn a day's wage. But soon he slipped away from the job to steal a Bible. A team member went looking for him and found him sitting in the corner weeping. Out of all those hundreds of Bibles, he had picked up one. That bore the handwritten signature of his own grandmother, who was persecuted for her faith, who had no doubt probably prayed for him, for her family also in that city. God used that grandmother's Bible to convict that young man. God has no grandchildren. We must each become first generation believers through personal faith in Jesus, but the devotion to God of a grandparent or parent is a powerful ally in the spirit to bring children to Christ. And this is why Paul encouraged Timothy, recalling the faith of his grandmother and mother. Although Timothy's faith was his own, it was deeply likened to her mother. What an admonition to all who are parents and grandparents this morning to be faithful. Unquote. And so may God's grace bless you this morning and help you to be a faithful mother. And it all starts with being in Christ. And so you're here this morning, you're outside the Lord Jesus Christ, I admonish you, come to Christ even now, that He might save you, that He can still make you a Lois, a Eunice, a grandmother, a mother, to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And those of you who are mothers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, I admonish you, I implore you, be faithful, continue. It's a hard job, it's tough, but when we have so many other things going around us, don't give up, persevere. Continue. Stay strong in the faith. Because the hardest job in the world is being a mother. Not the president of the United States, is being a mother. That's the hardest job in the world. But the best job in the world is being a faithful mother. And so may God help you remember. Have a faithful message, a faithful mission, a faithful molding, and be a faithful mother. I'd like to read a poem I wrote about 10 years ago, and I've read it the past few years. I'd like to read it again to you this morning as we conclude. I just entitled it Happy Mother's Day. Children are an heritage of the Lord. We thank our God and look to His Word. His wisdom and instruction is truly a must. We need guidance, and so in God we trust. Mothers bring children into this world. They are more precious than any pearl. Children are a gift from our great God. We confess what a miracle He has wrought. We take them home from the hospital. What a joy. We rejoice that they're a girl or a boy. They keep us up at night and we get little sleep. But what a joy to know they are us to keep. What a bond is formed between mother and baby, hoping they grow up to be a fine young man or lovely lady. We are excited when we see them take their first step. Sorry. We are excited when they take the first step. We take pictures so these memories are kept. Mothers are wipers of noses and watchers of ears. Mothers pick up where they fall and wipe their tears. Finders of shoes, toys, clothes, and hats. Mediators, peacemakers, referees of spats. We train their hearts from the Bible, for this is our goal. We have the promise that they will not depart when old. They finally graduate, and it all seems so fast, for in their heart. They finally graduate, and it all seems so fast, for in their heart we thought it would forever last. We sought to raise them in the Holy Word. We pray that they will believe and follow the Lord. And that salvation will be wrought in their heart. And that it would persevere to the end and never depart. God ordained from creation to birth children by mothers. And that men would be the leaders and the fathers. God's instruction to us to be fruitful and multiply. As we see our children born, most of us do cry. No, it does not take a village for children to be raised. God ordained that mothers will bring up their children under His grace. So for all that you have done, we wish you today that God bless you with a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Glory to God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for mothers. None of us would be here without a mother. And there's no such thing as a perfect mother. But I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've not left us here alone. You've not left us alone. You've given us your word to instruct those of us who are fathers and to instruct those who are mothers. And so, God, we ask your blessings upon us. And we ask your blessings upon the mothers that are here in this auditorium this morning, that you would bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, and help them, Lord. Because, again, I must stress the fact that the hardest job in the whole world is to be a mother. And so may you bless them this day and give them a good day of happiness and fun. And so, God, we entrust our services into your hand. And as we ask this, and you bless them in holy name. Amen.